I couldn't find a parking place.
Hey, with all the rain, there was nobody there.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, I'd like to call the Real Property Committee meeting to order. It's 4 p.m. Monday, August 6th, 2018. And acknowledge that the press and the public were duly notified of the meeting in accordance with the Freedom of Information Act. First item on the agenda, approval of the previous meeting's minutes from the regular meeting of July 3rd.
So moved.
Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Cruising right along. Citizens' comments. Are there any citizens, Mr. Jim Reig, that would like to comment? You know the drill. Name and address.
You flipped the little white, but there you go.
James Rye, 3904 Cameron Boulevard, Isle of Palms. Having served on this committee for 4 years, I have an understanding of how difficult it is to get a grasp around everything that goes on down at the marina. And I served on the Planning Commission for 4 years prior to the 4 years I spent on the Real Property Advisory Committee. So it's a very difficult to understand the different pieces and the different businesses down there and how they interconnect or how they don't interconnect. So, you know, with ownership comes responsibilities. And just for one example would be the sign ordinance. You know, we have a lot of signs down there, and have all the signs been approved and issued a permit and approved through the city? I mean, that's just one example of something that goes on down at the marina. It's always kind of concerned me a little bit, the different makeup of this committee, because it's not a committee that you can constantly rotate people in and really get a good understanding of what's going on. There's so many different leases and so many different moving components down there. So I would encourage you, especially with Linda Tucker retiring, we lose a wealth of information from a historical perspective down there. I would encourage you to always seek out those that have served before and may have historical information that might be able to explain some things. So I wish you well on what you're doing. And Randy, I think you can see by sitting on that side of the table, there's no easy questions and there's no easy answers to easy questions. And it's a great asset for the city, and it's great to have, and it needs some attention. And I think we're moving in the right direction, but it's difficult to get a grasp on all the moving parts down there. You know, we don't really have a department head like we have in a lot of the other committees that are there for the day-to-day operations. So I mean, it really is difficult. Everybody looks out for themselves, and that's understandable. But it's difficult. You've had a difficult committee to work on. So I appreciate your time today.
Good. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
We have, since I know everyone, there's no other citizens in the audience, so I can safely assume that we can move to comments from the marina tenants. And I can always predict who's the first one up.
Hello, all. Hello. Michael from Tidal Wave. I'll be brief. Just trying to spread the word again about our Residents Appreciation Day, September 8th. Everything at Tidal Wave will be free. We will start taking reservations August 15th. Donations will be accepted. MUSC Children's Hospital will be there on hand accepting donations of any kind. All right.
Thank you. Thank you. No comments from Jay? Brian, any comments? Okay, moving from that into old business. Item A, the results of RFP 2018-01, engineering, design, and permitting for Isle of Palms Marina Docks rehabilitation. So I'm going to ask Desiree to lead this conversation. We'll participate with her.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. As you all know, we received... I'm too close to that. That's why
I just want to make sure the audience can hear.
Okay. As you all know, we received three proposals for the request for proposals that the city put out about a month ago for the engineering design and permitting for the marina dock rehabilitation. You all have a summary of that evaluation and the scope of work proposed. We are recommending for the city for this committee to make a recommendation to Ways and Means and City Council to award a contract to Applied Technology Management. They were the same company who worked with the city for the marina redevelopment plan last year. I think that they are more than qualified to help the city and guide the city in this new endeavor. They already have a vast knowledge of the site, of the vision of the city, of the citizens' vision for the site as well. I believe that they can hit the ground running with this new project. We worked with their team for, you know, we worked very closely with their team and had a really great working relationship. They were very responsive. There were times when we needed them to attend a meeting and there was no notice and they pack up and would always attend. I know that there are some residents might have some concerns related to their, you know, they are associated with the work that was presented up for a referendum, which the referendum failed, but I think that, you know, they did the job that they were hired to do. I think they did a good job, and you know that should not penalize them in this new project. The other two companies that submitted proposals are qualified as well. There are some complications with them that support the reason why the staff is recommending ATM. Schaefer Waterfront Solutions, their project lead who would have been working on this project, tragically passed away about a month ago. So they're obviously that company is undergoing some changes and will, you know, try to figure out what they're gonna do now. And then John Gary Taylor, the city has worked with them in the past. They were the company who engineered the bulkhead at the marina. As you all know, we've had some issues related to the bulkhead at the marina. Last year or the year before, now I have my years kind of mixed together.
It's worse as you get older.
we started having some concerns on the some erosion concern on the landward side of the bulkhead. There was some settling and the soil was exiting through the weep holes, and you all remember that we hired JMT to conduct an evaluation of the bulkhead and submit some recommendations for repair, and the report concluded that those weep holes were installed incorrectly and they were faulty. So for that reason, that I would not recommend going with them. And I just think that ATM is very qualified. They do work with, they've done work for the City Marina, for the town of Mount Pleasant, for many other neighboring and municipalities around the state. They've won awards, their projects have won awards. I think one that really caught my eye is Green Pond Landing. They had a lot of ADA concerns and they wanted to be ADA compliant, and so their project was really ADA focused, and it's won an award for the design of that work. So I'm hoping that you all agree and make a recommendation for approval.
Let me just make a couple comments. I met with Desiree on this and probably did what I normally do, is try to be the devil's advocate because of the history with the marina referendum. And I said, let's make sure we all understand that these are two separate endeavors. And the referendum didn't fail as a consequence of ATM. It failed for a variety of reasons with the residents. So for myself, you know, I step back from it and go, looking at these three companies, we've got one whose work was not satisfactory to the city. We have another one that tragically has events that are beyond anybody's control. And then we have ATM. And I want to compliment Desiree. She did a nice job in putting this packet together and going through the level of detail that we requested of her. I asked the question of her, what if we rebid this? I don't want anyone to panic because we're not doing that. She said I'd have the same three responses, right? That there just aren't that many people that do this work. So I think, you know, given that and given the reputation of ATM across the industry, I personally don't have any issue. I'm probably loud enough anyway. I don't know if Sandy turned me off or on just now.
No, it's not turning on. You can use
this one. Okay. Isn't turning on either.
I think you can all. I'm loud enough. Yeah. I think it's working anyway. But anyway, I'm very comfortable just moving forward with it, and would ask Councilmember Ferenz any comments that she might have on this.
Yeah, and if I'm not loud enough, let me know. But the light isn't turning on. Mm-hmm. I think it's on, but it's not turning on. All I would ask of ATM is that you utilize all of the information you have, because I've got a book about this big of all the information. But take the blinders off. Don't go down the same path. Really look at what we're, the residents have told you, and you were there for all of those meetings, and to really think about in terms of what the residents are looking for. But also the ADA compliance is a big one with me. I think that we have long passed not done what we needed to do. So let's really concentrate on that also. That's all I have.
Would you like to make a motion?
I would like to make a motion that we contract Applied Technology Management for the Marina Dock Rehabilitation, and we bring this forward to Ways and Means, and then following that, bring it to Council.
Please, Desiree. I'll second the motion.
You need a motion. In your packet, you'll see a spreadsheet, and it includes the three scope of work that we requested as part of the RFQ. One is the prioritization and recommendations for repair and replacement, planning and design, and permitting. The cost for ATM without the alternates, it's $22,600. I recommend that we include in the approval alternate number one, which includes plans, specs, and bid documents. I don't think that we're going to be anywhere close during this year with construction. So I think that I would delay the construction administration. Certainly, I think there's a lot of value in having them administer the contract, and I would assume that that would be the intent. But if we're looking at this in phases, I think that is something that we can approve later on.
Okay.
So the total would be $62,000.
Right.
And I will remind you all that the FY19 Marina Fund includes a provision of $35,000 for the engineering associated with the bid grant, and an additional $250,000 related to the dock, for the dock repair and replacement.
Right. So we do have the funds.
Yes, correct.
Because that's the first thing Jimmy Ward will ask.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we have these discussions while he's away. It's just so much easier. No, we knew the funding was there. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes. Item B, update regarding 1100 Palm and the right-of-way on Pavilion Drive.
I'll give you all a quick update. As you all know, when we were researching the ownership of Pavilion Drive, we found that SCDOT had not conveyed the entire area between J.C. Long Boulevard and Carolina Boulevard to the city. That's why the attorney recommended the city conduct a new survey, a more current survey. That work is being completed and finalized this week. After then, we will use that survey to request and obtain title to the entire right-of-way from SCDOT. Once we do that, then we'll be able to address the citizen and the property owner's request, which is to convey part of the right-of-way for them to be able to get clear title. Hopefully we get, if all this goes through well, we can report on it at the city council meeting, but that's where we stand right now.
Okay, thank you. Item C, update on marina operations and request for documentation. So I'll just make a general comment and thank the tenants who have responded. I think everybody's to date been pretty responsive. We, of course, as one would expect, still have questions on some of the information. But just for public record purposes, what we're trying to understand is, you know, how big is this thing that we're dealing with at the marina? And frankly, knowing that we're looking at investments, and I think this past 3 weeks, has highlighted some of the urgency around city financial decisions. There's a rumor we've had a drainage problem on the island. So as we look at the big picture and available funds to the city, then of course we're asking questions around the marina. And one of my primary questions are fit, form, and purpose for the residents of the marina. You know, who's using it, at what level, how much we need to invest. And I think what you'll find from this committee going forward is a kind of a comprehensive view of looking at the entirety of the property and coming up with a plan that serves the purpose of the residents. It is a resident-owned or city-owned marina. I know I personally commented many times on, I think it's way more commercialized than the residents would like for it to be. And we've asked for information along the way to help us understand, you know, how do we, in clear conscience, make the right recommendations around the spending plans that we have. Sandy, comment?
Yes, and also going past that is to form all of this information together so that then we can look at a global view, not just this year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the line, what does that marina represent for this island? And right now we're drilling down to the nitty-gritty of what we need today. But all of this is so that we can get a composite idea so that moving forward, we know exactly where we should invest and where we need to not invest as much.
Yeah, so I want to thank Brian. We did receive information about an hour before the meeting, and I'm still doing math. And probably want to take some time to digest this information, frankly. But, you know, if I go back to March 24th, 2015, I look at the records that we've had on the use of the marina. It was stated in that particular Ways and Means meeting that Manager Brian Berrigan stated that sold 6,000 launch vouchers to people from off-island and 300 to residents. So I'm not sure if there were errors in the letter today, but the letter that we received today states that there were roughly 4,600 resident launches to date this year against, you have the number of companies? 1,967 off-island. That, I'd be less than candid if I said I struggle with that. So me being me, the way I usually attack things is, and I was not a math major, by the way, if I said there's 26 weeks in this year, and I took the ATM data that said, you know, 10% ownership of boats on the island, and, you know, you subtract out those that have their own docks, it would lead you to believe that there's maybe 466 boats. And I have no better data than the ATM data. If I took that data in 182 days and said everybody that owns a boat has 7 days available to them, that would suggest that there's 25.57 launches a day. If I said there's only 4 days available, that'd be 45 resident launches per day. That doesn't feel right to me. And like you said, you know, I'm not the one providing the data, but this suggests that something has happened since 2015 where resident launches outnumber non-resident launches by 2 to 1. So I would ask that we go back and look at that with the marina operator and try to get our arms around the data. And like I said, this is the print's drying on this document. So, and Brian, honestly, I don't know if you've seen it, but it just, you know, I live on 41st. There is a steady flow of non-resident boat launches all day, every day. And if I go down there, I see very few resident decals, very few residents at the marina property. So I'd ask that we continue to work with the marina operator and get our arms around this. The purpose here is very simple. When we go forward trying to put money into this marina with whatever plan that plan looks like, I don't know how to do that without explaining to the residents what it means to them. Right. We're going to make decisions in that marina based on the residents. And all of us that ran for council in this last cycle were very clear on that. And, you know, I've had many conversations with residents, with some of the tenants. We can look at each lease individually and deal with them in the whack-a-mole sort of as they come up, or we can look at the property and say, what's the vision for the marina? I mean, this is a crown jewel to this city, and we've got to start treating it like a crown jewel, put the appropriate amount of money, but potentially have the right amount of covenants around that money that says there's fit and purpose for the residents. And I think, you know, speaking up for myself on this committee as the chair of it, and I let council member Ferenc make the same comments, we are really interested in seeing this property become what it could be for the residents. Fair?
Fair. And I think that in looking at all this data, it's hard for me to put it all together, but that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to really see the global picture for not just the docks and the marina side of it, but the restaurant side, the water sports side, the whole thing, the parking side, the, you know, 41st Street. I mean, we've got a lot of moving parts in all of this. The other information we got today was a list of the long-term tenant wait list for slips and dry storage. And unless I've made a mistake, 2 years ago we applied for a slip and we have an 18-foot sea hunt and we're a resident, and there's no 18-foot sea hunt on the list. So I don't know if it's under a 19-foot sea hunt, but there's no sea hunt on the waiting list that's a resident. So, I'd like to kind of look at where we've got. Yes, sir.
Brian, you may.
Well, it may be under a 19-foot or a 21-foot.
Maybe it grew.
I'd look to see.
As you know, I've been advised not to talk with my counsel not being here.
Yes.
And he originally thought that the meeting was going to be August 6th, and then it got canceled for August.
Right.
And then it got put back on.
We're glad you're here, Brian.
He was committed, so it could not be here today. But I have to clarify, you started out as 52nd on the dry storage waiting list,
right,
and now you're 26th. So whatever number 26
is. I can't find me.
It may be.
Maybe under 19.
I saw it today.
Oh, okay. Well, I couldn't find you. So thank you.
You've moved up.
Thank you very much.
So, I don't know if it's under something else, but.
Yeah, I looked at 19 foot and 20 foot, but they were only non-resident. So I don't know what happened. But anyway, thank you.
I'll double check it and make sure.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate it.
26 on there. Yeah.
So, normally we don't comment on citizens' comments, but I want to address Mr. Rye's comment about signage and ask for some guidance from the city as well. The signage that you're referring to within the marina, 5.123 acres, is not city-controlled signage, to my knowledge, right?
You don't have to go for a permit to SCDOT. You don't have to do any
correct.
Of those
Correct. You
things
would not need an SCDOT encroachment permit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But I would have to, I think I would be more comfortable asking Douglas.
Yeah. About standardization of the
correct,
signage.
About the signage and making sure that it complies with the city.
I mean, I think the ongoing discussion, and it does fall into this category of marina operations, I still ask. When I go to the marina, the only resident available parking I see at the marina is 30 minutes at the store. Like, that just doesn't feel right to me. And, you pull in there, there's signs on every parking space, virtually. And it's, predominantly for people with boats and trailers. The portion for Morgan Creek Grill is delineated by that paved parking area, and the portion for Tidal Wave is the, 11 parking places, Michael, but whatever that number is. And they're marked, right? Beyond that, the parking is all assigned parking, and I would just encourage the tenants sitting here today to understand we have awarded the bid for the signs on 41st, and I've had discussions with the city that when those signs go up as resident, year-round resident, right now my guess is I see the same cars there every day. It's predominantly employee parking on 41st. That goes away once the signs come in, and the lease for the marina operator is they are to provide tenant parking for the employees, right? So the options are the ones we've discussed previously, which are to use the city lots, and run shuttles. But beyond that, there will be no parking on the public streets for the employees. So, that problem doesn't go away. The signage makes it more complicated. And we've had, multiple conversations about the tenants coming together on their own and resolving it and trying to come up with I would call it a time-based cycle. I mean, as boat launches wind down, restaurant business winds up. So how do you come together with a plan that has an overlapping capability between the tenants in a way that works for everybody? But at that, I'm gonna leave it at that. I think, as a council, we've tried everything we can to get that level of cooperation, but it's got to come from the tenants. Sandy, anything further on this?
No, not at this point.
Nope. So I'd just like to thank you all for what you did submit. For the public record, we've looked hard at insurance requirements, right? What is the lease asking of the tenants and the sublessees? And that's in the hands of the city administration right now to work with marina operators and the tenants to make sure that we're compliant to protect the city finances. And that was strictly the intent of that exercise. Thank you. Desiree, any comments on that? Or I will move along. I promised a short meeting. new business. This could be old business. I brought it up before. And, with Brian Berrigan sitting here, I think it's actually a good conversation. there are X amount of leased tenant charter boat operations at the marina. So as we go through the insurance exercise and we're looking at those leases, which are in the hands of the city now, the council members do not have those individual leases. We're looking at, are they carrying the required amounts of insurance, and have they named the city as also insured per the terms of our lease with the operators? And I think that holds true for all of the tenants. So I'm not trying to, on a personal level, I'm not trying to tell unleased charter boat captains that they can't operate out of the Isle of Palms Marina. Right? I don't know that business, but my guess is they run for many marinas, right? Wherever they have a charter boat, tourist or whatever you want to call them, they're going to pick them up and operate. But the question is, does the city have any less liability because they're not leasing a slip? And I don't think the answer to that is yes, right? They are running a commercial business, and they're using the Isle of Palms Marina as a basis for their operation at times. And one thing I'm pretty certain of in this litigious society, if there's an accident, everybody gets named, including the city of Isle of Palms. So I've asked for advice from our new city attorney and from city administration, what should we do? Right, and Desiree, I'll paraphrase, and if I'm wrong, jump in and correct me, but it would probably mean that they need an agreement with the marina operator by which, you know, there's some agreement for them to operate as a business out of the marina, hence the same insurance requirements get placed on them as your other leased charter boat operations. And that would, on a personal level, make me more comfortable to say that we're completely covered and the city's not at risk for commercial entities operating out of marina. Did I do well, Desiree?
You did. One more thing.
Yeah.
The city has two options. The city can either enter into direct agreements with these businesses operating out of the marina.
Through the building department?
No.
But in theory, they have a business license.
They do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't think that this is something that we can look at through the business license requirement.
Okay.
And if the concern is that these businesses are operating out of the marina, and we don't know whether or not they have proper insurance, in order for the city to ensure that they have proper insurance, we could either enter into a direct agreement with them, the way that we have other leases operating out of the marina, or for the marina manager to enter into these leases and then becoming subtenants of the marina operations, and then we could ensure that they would need to supply the appropriate insurance documentation.
Okay, these are folks that just are fishing guides, and they launch at the marina. They use
or pick up
at our marina. They use our marina in their marketing.
Mm-hmm.
We pick up and deliver whatever from here, and so that's the concern: the association of these private entities using our facility, and what kind of liability we would have if, in fact, there was a major accident in one of these boats.
I'll shift gears a little bit because I don't want to pick on just charter boat captains, right? So if we have an entity on the island that packages water sports activities, right? They could conceivably rent 3 or 4 kayaks to somebody under their business umbrella and go down and launch. It's no different, right? If there's an accident down there, the city is absolutely going to be a defendant in a liability case, right? So the intention here is, what should we do, right? I don't think, and I would ask Brian Berrigan actually, my guess is these charter boat captains may have 5 different ones next year, right? So trying to do this through a city lease, it doesn't feel right to me, just on the surface. If we're going to do it, we should do it in concert with the marina operator, and then you get into a question of enforcement. What happens if somebody's operating and they're not operating properly? But I do know, as we've had conversations in the past, it's also competition for those that are paying lease fees to you, right? So, you know, they're certainly advantaged if they can use the marina over some that are there renting slips and paying higher fees that, you know, ultimately transfer over to the city as well. So I don't think we have to have an answer today, and that wasn't the intention, but I want to keep the conversation moving with legal advice as to what's the best way to do this to make sure that the city's protected.
So we have not received legal advice up to this point?
We have.
Oh, we have.
And that is the recommendation of our legal team, that if these businesses want to operate out of the marina, operate a commercial activity out of the marina, they have an obligation to either enter into an agreement with the city or with the marina operator. In order for us to ensure that they have proper insurance, because it does put the city at risk, what if there's an accident happening at the marina?
So operationally, do we need to make a motion to have this drafted and become an ordinance, or do you just work to make it happen?
I have more conversations pending with the attorney about this. I don't think it is something that needs to be addressed via ordinance. This is just administering and managing the marina site. I will ask for additional time so that I can go back to the city attorney, but I wanted to answer your question. Does this put the city at risk or not? And it does.
It does, okay. And when we do this, let's make sure that it's all commercial businesses. It is not, you know, it's not singling out charter boat operations. If somebody wants to go down there and rent a jet ski that's not from Tidal Wave, we have the same issue, right? So we need to be broad in stroke, and I would ask that we think through who owns enforcement and what happens when somebody is in violation. Are we intending to issue a fine, right? Because frankly, just telling them you can't do this anymore, I don't think you can have a behavioral change. I think we need to look at this end to end and make sure that we have a complete plan. So with that, I don't have anything else to add on that subject.
Additional question. Do we have any idea of the scope? I mean, how many of these there are? Is there five? Is there 10? Are there? We have no idea.
I had a list handed to me a while ago that suggested there were around 10. I gave that list to Douglas Kerr, who went through, and his intention at the time was, do they have business licenses? I think, and this is from memory, out of the 10, all but two had a business license with the city. So they're doing what they believe is the right thing. However, again, you know, it's very disparate on the insurance requirements. Okay, with that, this could be the shortest ever. The next meeting date is 4 p.m. Wednesday, September 5th. Tenants reports.
They're all current.
I knew that. That's why I skipped over it. They're all current, and now I can move to the next meeting date is 4 p.m. Wednesday, September 5th, 2018.
I don't know if this is cricket or not, but you know, I would ask that in September we really start looking at long-term plans for the marina. I would like to see a commercial, not assessment, what do you call it?
Assessment. You're talking about property value assessment?
Yeah, property value assessment. But there's another term to use instead of that, but whatever. To see exactly what the value of the marina is. We were going to do that, I think, before ATM came in, and we never did. So we want to see what the value of all of that property is. So going forward, we can see what kind of loan value we may have or what kind of impact we may have in terms of what we bought it for and what it's worth now.
Well, I think the general tone is we're trying to get our arms around it, and we're not trying to do damage to any of the tenants, but we're trying to do what the residents asked us to do. And I thank you all for participating and helping us get there.
And I think for me, you know, I'd really like us to start to look broader. We've been really homing in on detail, which we need to do right now, but I really want to start looking farther out to see what we need to do.
So expect that on the next agenda.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you all. With that, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay.